Yeah, it's been great to catch up with all the trainers and the jockeys earlier this morning out here at the training hut. It won't be too long, only a few more months while they're all gathered here, but everyone's in a good mood and they've got some nice horses heading towards the huge Vobis Gold Day on Saturday. And Josh Blanksby joins me, the boss of the MRC. Josh, great morning out here this morning. Had a number of your members out here speaking to and hearing from a number of the trainers. So it's good to see that re-engagement of people coming back to the track.
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it, Michael? Here, we're sitting here right on the track and... Look, that's a great initiative by our membership team to try to give some value back to our members who really stood by us over the last 12 to 18 months. So we had a great track walk last week before the race day, and sort of 120 or so people walking around with Jason Kerr and learning about tracks and understanding it. And then this morning to have a track work breakfast here, and for those members to be able to engage with the trainers and, you know, celebrities like yourself, you know, it's just fantastic.
You
for them.
Stewart, I think, don't you? Talking to the trainers out there, everyone was in a very happy, jovial mood out there. But we are getting towards the end of what's been an iconic era of training here. How many more months do you think it will be for training to continue here? Because a lot of the trainers already made their minds up and decisions as to where they move to next.
Yeah, well, we obviously made the commitment out to November 2023, and that was very, very important to give the trainers plenty of time. And we're standing by that commitment. But understandably, trainers want to work out where they want to go and move quickly. And it's great to see the facilities at Cranbourne, Ballarat, Pakenham, you know, being invested in and built. So if the trainers do choose to go earlier, we understand that, and that'll allow them the development to occur here. But as you said, it's been, you know, a huge tradition, a huge history here, and we want to represent that and reflect that over as they exit. Over the next few months.
Yeah, absolutely. It was good to see Colin Little, who's announced his partnership as well. We'll catch up with Colin. But he would be probably we're looking at Lord Lodge, where we sit here, the most iconic training establishment that still remains here. So we're looking to tell those historic stories and, I suppose, capture them for posterity over the last few months as well.
Yeah, I think that's really, really important that we represent our history here at Caulfield. It's an iconic race course, and any development here is going to have a nod to that history, and you'll see that in all our master planning. But Lord Lodge has got heritage listing, as you'd expect. It's a beautiful building. So, you know, what we do there, that's on freehold land. So what we do there for the club, I think, is important, whether that's a museum or an academy or something along those lines that can represent the history of Caulfield.
Speaking to the trainers this morning, there's been a lot of talk. You mentioned the word academy about the workforce and track work riders, stable hands. And Anthony Mithen raised the point again of track work times. And I know the MRC through Mornington have been conducting an extended training time in the morning. How has that been going down at Mornington?
Yeah, look, it's been pretty seamless, I must admit. It's great to give a few extra hours to the trainers. Look, as you'd expect, the trainers then choose within those hours, and some of them have a model that allows the earlier morning, and it probably suits their staff at this moment because their staff have other jobs or are just used to that earlier start, and that's fine. But what it does give is some of those other trainers who might want to push back a few hours to attract some new staff, it gives them that opportunity. So nothing comes free in life, so there is a cost to extending the training hours, obviously, through staffing and maintenance of the tracks and so on, but we're happy to commit to that if that's what people want going forward. So at the end of the trial, we'll sit down with all the trainers and Racing Victoria and see if it's been beneficial, and hopefully it can be broadened out to other training centres.
It seems there's no unanimous call either way, though. It's still pretty much each to their own.
I think that's probably right, Michael. And those, as I said, those who've got an established business and have probably longer-term workers have found their model work, and they don't really want to change that. But what the extended hours does give to some of those, maybe those newer trainers who are trying to encourage more staff into it. Hopefully that helps. So I think that's the way we've got to find the way through.
We've been talking in recent weeks about what the Spring Carnival may look like, and we're awaiting the announcement from Racing Victoria as to the protocols for international gallopers as well. I suppose, does it put a bit of a hold on the MRC trying to go out and look for early international horses to come here until we get the final report?
Look, I think there's no doubt about that. I think everybody will be waiting for it. In fairness to Racing Victoria and VRC, they've engaged a lot with those international trainers, so that there won't be huge surprises, is my guess, in whatever the report does say, and I haven't seen the report. But yeah, certainly for our Caulfield Cup retention and trying to get people over here, we've probably just got to wait a little bit at the moment. But as I've said before, the Caulfield Cup $5 million race is really a standalone race now that people can target. So our racing team, led by Jake Norton, will be having those conversations about horses that are more suited to the 2400 metres here at Caulfield.
I know there's been some angst in recent weeks about coverage and the racing media. There's a lot of discussion about racing.com, Sky, how it all works together. And in the last couple of weeks, especially with Caulfield Racing, we've seen a couple of clashes, which have been pretty disappointing. Split Screen, Easter Cup as well. Have you spoken to Sky about that as the boss of the MRC, about trying to make sure that doesn't occur?
Yeah, look, we're in constant dialogue with Sky. We've got a good relationship with them through some international distribution. Also, we're a purchaser of their product for our very large pub network. So it is disappointing to see those split screens, especially on a Group 3 race. Mm. And what I'm sort of confused by, and why I haven't got an answer from Sky or Tabcorp, is that surely this can't be good for the customer and the punter. I get that we need to, you know, the Sky One sort of wheel needs to turn and, you know, the next race needs to be shown. But really, we're talking about a Group 3 Saturday Metro meeting versus a provincial New South Wales meeting. And I understand there are contractual obligations, but I'd certainly like to find a way through, because in the end, that it's not great for the customer. And all I can see for punters and customers out there who like Caulfield, head to racing.com, where it's live and free, and there will be no split screens.
It is very frustrating for punters, especially when it's a substandard race in comparison to what all the race hasn't even begun. Horses are milling around beforehand.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Sky One, that the states work together. So if there is a delay and a horse has been scratched or, you know, needs some attention, then they wait. And the reason why they wait is so everyone's on Sky One, and we do it with our three tracks all the time. So, again, a little bit confused. I'm hoping to get a bit more of a fulsome response out of Tabcorp and Sky, but yeah, it's happened 2 weeks in a row now, and it's disappointing.
This Saturday is going to be one of the great race days outside of an autumn or spring carnival. Prize money, $2.5 million. We're going to have some really good competitive racing, high prize money racing. Crowd wise, what are we looking like on Saturday?
Yeah, look, I think it should be a good crowd. We're sort of back to just the two zones and our members in a GA zone, and you can move freely. So we had close to 5,000 on Easter, which was really great. So I would hope that sort of number again. It's the seventh running of this day, and really proud of the club working with the breeders and the owners and Racing Victoria to really sort of put on a day for those people who invest so much. So if you're an owner, you can come along to a function and be entertained and enjoy your day, and there'll be a lot of breeders on site. So if anyone who wants to learn about how to get into ownership or learn about syndication or breeding, come along to the day, because there'll be plenty of industry representatives here, and it's just a great representative of the Victorian racing industry.
Absolutely, just like this morning. Head along to the MRC. If you're a member, even if you're not a member, you can come here, you can join up a membership, or you can just come in and find out, pull back some of the mystery, I suppose, that a lot of people coming into racing for the first time might wonder how they can get more involved. And Saturday's the day that you really find out from the grassroots level.
Well, I think that's absolutely right, Michael. I think you've had a couple of syndicators on this morning, and it's just great the way they've been able to engage with the racing fan to get them into ownership. And for all of us, if a fan becomes an owner, they're very, very engaged, and I'm guessing they'll come to the track, become a member, and probably be a fan for life.
Josh, we'll be out here live on Saturday morning. Look forward to that, the countdown to what will be another huge Phobos Gold Owners Day ad here.
Good on you, Michael.
Josh Blanksby, the